was having a conversation earlier before service, and the question came up about counting blessings. And it's good to count our blessings. That's another hymn there, too. Name them one by one. Count every blessing and see what God has done. And the other day, I was walking up the steps. I was visiting with some friends out at University of Laverne. And one of my mentors, Dr. Taylor is about 83 years old. Good shape, one of those Jack LaLanne kind of persons. Eats right. I mean, he has a spring in his step. And I'm like, you know, Dr. Taylor, when I grow up, I want to be like you. He's like, well, Clemens, you live right. You might just see it. but not to be facetious, but just the blessing of being able to walk, being able to breathe unaided. And most of us, who ate good last night? I hear we're going to eat good today, too. We're all going to have some food so we can give thanks or even the ability to think. And so many things we could thank the Lord for. And all of these blessings that may seem small point to the biggest blessing that we could ever have in this life, which is Jesus. Amen? Because he loves you like that. And he loves me like that, too. This is a great day. And I have to confess, felt a bit jittery being up here earlier. And grateful for the men taking time to pray with me. We've had such a wonderful journey together. And I'm striving to really live this Christian life right with you. I have not arrived yet. And I'm grateful for God's grace. And the story of Jonah is a very impactful story from the Bible. And it hit home for me on several levels. And years ago, I preached a sermon series on Jonah called I, Jonah. And just to kind of put ourselves in the place of the prophet who sometimes, let's just say, when God told him to go right, he would go left. And God, who's so faithful and gracious and compassionate, teaches Jonah. And I believe the lessons that God has for Jonah definitely is more than a fish story. He teaches us. And chapter 4 really lands in a very powerful way. And so I know some of y'all are probably excited. I'll speak for myself. I'm excited about that barbecue, but let's set that aside for now and dive into the meat of God's word, and we're going to invite his spirit to teach us from this. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, what a good and awesome, powerful God you are. And when we reflect on who you are, your character, your very divine nature, your essence, you are compassionate. You are gracious. You have wrath, but you also have mercy. You're kind. You're unchanging. You're infinite. You're holy. You're all of the qualities of your full divinity and yet without sin. And we're grateful that you're active in your world. Teach us to be like Jesus. As we look at your prophet in Jonah, cause for us to see what you had to say to him, and by speaking to and through your prophet, what you have to say to us. And we pray this in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah. The Bible has a lot to say to us. And we pray, as the scripture says, to study, to show ourselves approved, workmen unto God, need not be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. God is perfect, and his word and his ways are perfect. And so in this moment, we're praying that the Spirit has something to say to us. Notice how I'm saying that us part, right? And I'm trying by God's grace not to add my thoughts to the text, but to come to it and see what's there. And so we would read it and look at the word. Jesus had something to say. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word, he said, not one jot or tittle. So there he puts a high standard on his words above our words. Did you get that? And so with that in mind, we're going to read through the text. And as you read, pray. And then we're going to look at what's there And if you're one that takes notes, a part of chapter 4, we're going to look at Jonah complains. Oh boy. But we're going to see God, we're going to see the Lord question. The Lord questions. And then we're going to see the Lord teaches, which we're going to be camping out at. So let's go to Jonah 4. But it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "Please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better to me than life." The Lord said, "Do you have good reason to be angry?" Then Jonah went out from the city and sat east of it. There he made a shelter for himself and sat under it in the shade until he could see what would happen in the city. So the Lord God appointed a plant, and it grew up over Jonah to be a shade over his head to deliver him from his discomfort. And Jonah was extremely happy about the plant. But God appointed a worm when dawn came the next day, and it attacked the plant and it withered. When the sun came up, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint and begged with all his soul to die, saying, "Death is better to me than life." Then God said to Jonah, "You have a good reason to be angry about the plant?" And he said, "I have good reason to be angry, even to death." Then the Lord said, "You had compassion on the plant for which you did not work and which you did not cause to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight. Should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know the difference between their right hand and their left hand, as well as many animals?" God's word. This dialogue that's occurring between the prophet Jonah and the Lord God, the creator of the universe, is happening after the city of Nineveh repented and turned from their wicked ways. And you can go back to verse 10. It says, when God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which he declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. So this great city of Nineveh, and I've shared weeks before that the Assyrian Empire, they were a warring empire, they were fierce, they did a lot of really terrible things, and God pronounced a judgment on them that in 40 days it would be destroyed. And from the king all the way down to the commoner, even the animals, there was repentance. There was a sense of turning away from destruction. And simply put, there are times in human experience where there are heavy consequences to our actions. By a show of hands, who here has experienced some consequences in your life? So we know what that's like. We feel it. We know it. But here's some good news. Who here has experienced grace and mercy and forgiveness that you didn't get what you deserved? So you know the feeling of what that's like, the relief. Thank you, God, for forgiveness, for a second chance. Thank you that the gun jammed when he pointed. Thank you that I made that right turn and that accident that had 5-6 people in it, I wasn't in it. So there are times where God relents or spares us from destruction. And usually when that happens, we are happy. I know I am. Now, the interesting thing with Jonah, God used him in such a supernatural way with a basic message that an entire city was radically transformed at his preaching. Some would say that this is probably the largest evangelistic crusade that ever occurred, using modern terms, that a whole city is transformed. To kind of put it, like, it's like if you grew up in New York or L.A. and the crime rate went from this to this overnight. Such a radical heart change because the people turned away from their evil ways and turned to their God and their Creator. That's what happened in Nineveh. And by the way, there are times where God moves among the hearts of people that literally, when the hearts change, communities, neighborhoods, towns change. I'm 54. I'm grateful for those years. I've been in some pretty bad neighborhoods that you could like feel when you, this is a place I need to be out of here soon. But then there's some places that are so peaceful, and there's a spirit that's calm and serene. And I'm not trying to sound spooky or mystical, but people, when we occupy places, we carry ourselves there too. So Nineveh repented, Nineveh changed, and Jonah is angry. Jonah, he is furious. Jonah is displeased. And you see in the first verse of chapter 4, he's not just a little displeased, he's greatly displeased. He's agitated. Ah! Because now these folks who've turned from what they were doing are now receiving God's blessings, and Jonah doesn't like that. And Jonah complains. And I find it fascinating. Sometimes we talk to people and we don't really know who we're talking to. Jonah is arguing with God. Jonah is arguing with the Lord. I've heard people say all kinds of things in the hospital. And when I first started, I've been in clinical work for close to 30 years. And I had a hard time sometimes dealing with folks with atheism and all that. And the idea came to me that the very breath that's used to blaspheme the name of God is gifted by the Creator himself. The next heartbeat I experience is because of the mercy and grace of God. I'm talking about this guy right here. So Jonah is angry that somebody's experiencing, not somebody, the Ninevites are being blessed. He can't stand it. He's like, oh, I want to die. I would rather die than see God bless my enemies. And he complains. And he complains. And he camps out, and he looks to see, well, is the good Lord going to nuke him? He camps out. Yeah, he's waiting for it. And as we walk through this text and we consider Jonah complaining, do we do that? I'm just going to sit there right there for a moment. And wasn't this the guy swallowed up by that large fish? I was talking to some of the brothers here. Y'all know in recent weeks that there was a fish or a whale that swallowed up. Y'all remember that in the news? And I was like, wow, that's an illustration right there, isn't it? So as human beings, we can complain and carry that complaint even before your God and Creator, which, by the way, that's really who it's against. This is a hard thing. I don't know if y'all can handle it or not. Pray for us. Pray for me. Jonah complains. And he even goes to say, this is the very thing that I knew. Let me get my words right here. While I was still in my own country, therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. Jonah's complaint was also rooted in him disagreeing with who God is. If you go to Exodus chapter 34, when God speaks to the Israelites, he says, I, the Lord, am compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding with loving kindness. And that phrase, he repeats throughout the Old Testament. He tells us who he is and also what he does. But Jonah had a problem with that. May I be honest with you? There are times where people may say or do things that hurt the ones I love. And God has the right to show mercy and grace on that person. He says, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. So there may be a guy at work or a lady in your family or somebody who you know and see who says or does things that are wrong, and all of a sudden you see God blessing them. What do you do? If I'm getting in your business a little bit, but at the end of the day, aren't we all recipients of the mercy and grace of God? And Jonah, he missed that and he complained. And he even got suicidal. I was about to name this sermon 5150. Dad joke this morning. But I've worked in healthcare for a number of years, and can I tell you the number one emotion I see on my psych units is anger. And usually it's anger with God. So Jonah complains, but let's move from that and briefly look at the Lord questions. Do you have good reason to be angry? And Jonah responds, I have reason enough to die. You have good reason to be angry. Did Jonah have a reason to be angry? Now, in fairness, the Ninevites and the Assyrian Empire more than likely slaughtered some of his countrymen in his day. He may have known or had family that suffered harm from the Assyrian people. He may have been aware of their barbaric practices and the evil that they did as a people. In fairness, when Jonah ran, he had a good. There are people that want to hurt us. But yet God may see within any groups of people precious souls that are his. And so he asked Jonah, you got a good reason to be angry, which, by the way, and this is how I try to make the Bible real for me, I try to ask myself some of that sometimes. Charles, do you have a reason to be angry here? And I'll scratch my head for a little bit and think about it. I'm like, you know, now that I think about it, I really don't. But when we get tripped up, and I love the notes, and I'm grateful for Ron and others. If you read a part of the sermon outline, Jonah does challenge self-righteousness. Ouch. It was great getting out of that fish. It's great receiving the mercy of God. Great being blessed of God. Don't forget that when others need mercy and grace too. See how that works? That kind of sounds like Jesus, right? Blessed are the merciful, for they... Oh, the very thing I need, somebody else needs too. That's a beautiful thing. I won't camp out too long. The Lord questions, and it's not like he didn't know the answer. I think the term the sagacity of God or the wisdom of God, God has a way of teaching us through circumstances and not just through his word. Because sometimes if we don't get the lesson from a directive or a word, he can kind of orchestrate things. And if you read the story, when he's on the boat and he's running, the Lord sends the wind and the waves. And then he jumps overboard, the Lord sends a fish. And you get a sense that over and over, he's trying to reach Jonah. And the one who should have been the most responsive to God is actually the least. And then you're seeing these pagan sailors turning from their idols to the true and living God. You see a whole nation turning to God. Everybody's responding to God except Jonah. And so if I'm an ancient Israelite and I'm reading this story about Jonah and about how this prophet had turned away from God, and I'm in a nation like Israel at the time that was experiencing wealth and prosperity but was turning away from God too, then all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute. Maybe he has something to say to us. And maybe he has something to say to me. See how that works? So while Jonah's camping out, and this is just my imagination, thinking of him with some binoculars, even though they didn't have binoculars, but he's outside the city, but he's far enough away that he's not close enough to be quote-unquote hurt, but he's watching to see what happens. And he's out there in the heat, and the good Lord raises up he's got some shrubbery growing over his head there, all right? He's experiencing the cool and the shade that God supplies through this vine that grows. And he enjoys it. He enjoys it so much that he's greatly pleased by it. He's extremely happy. You see that in verse 6. So while he's experiencing the grace of God and the comfort that he provides, he's clueless of how he's experiencing God's grace, even in spite of his own way. This is a good part to catch. Because the moment the Lord takes that away, he goes back to where he was before. And you see the attitude that he has. The Lord appointed a worm, comes up overnight, the vine withers, and on top of it, he has this loss of shade. The Lord sends a scorching east wind. They call those Sirocco winds. So you can imagine that there's a wind blowing through, but it's catching the heat of the desert. And if you ever, you know, I don't have much hair, but you think of a blow dryer or something like that, think of him sitting out there unshaded, experiencing the scorching heat on top of having this really complaining bad attitude. And then he says, I would rather die. So the Lord teaches him. Jonah, you care more about that plant than you do about that city. Jonah cared more about his comfort, his ease, and his own just feeling all right over the souls and the lives of those people. You think we can relate to that? Yes, I have challenges in my life, but I have it pretty good. I can go to the kitchen and turn the faucet on and get some water, or better yet, I can go get some out of the refrigerator and, you know, maybe put on an album or two and put my feet up and listen to my favorite blues or what have you, and I'm doing okay. But there are kids that'll have a jerry can and will walk for miles to fetid waters at the risk of their life and bring it home to mom to boil. So God teaches, the Lord teaches Jonah compassion, his compassion. Like, Jonah, you have more compassion for that plant than you do for over 120,000 in this city of Nineveh that don't know their right hand from their left. Now, if you have any volunteers that work with children's ministry here, by a show of hands, this kind of, if you have any that presently working, I see a few hands. If you want to do something fun, and I may have mentioned this, go to the children's group, you know, maybe first graders, third, fourth, and just say, on the count of three, I want you to put up your left hand, all right? Get them all together. I think you, one, two, three. And every time I did this, I used to do youth ministry a long time ago. Some will put up both hands. Some will put up one hand. And the whole room, they don't know their left from their right. And here we learn the compassion of God. That when Nineveh was facing judgment, God cared about those kids in that city. And he also cares about people that didn't discern right from wrong. I've worked with folks, some of them grew up in abused homes. And they grew up thinking that they were garbage because that's what they heard from the earliest part of their life. So they accepted that as normal. But we serve a God, I'm not trying to bring you down, that has compassion and grace and is slow to anger, and he cares. Could y'all put these pictures up overhead here? Years ago, I had the privilege of working with Children's Hunger Fund, and one of my training trips was going to Peru, and we visited orphanages there. And some of the places we went to work, they would share stories about, there was a communist group called Sendero Luminoso, or the Shining Path, and how they survived some of those things. But was grateful to see so many believers there working to provide resources for children and giving them food. And this precious little angel was at one of those orphanages, just as happy as she can be. Go to the next slide. And these little fellas here, love that. Remind me of my kids there. There you go. And these photos are about 20 years old, so these kids are grown now. You know, this is Zimbabwe. And this is one of the orphanages there. And one of the persons there worked to get kids homes, and in some cases, they adopted them. And if you're aware, Zimbabwe went through major upheaval because this is before Robert Mugabe, the dictator, was overthrown. So they went through their experiences there too, but yet the light of Jesus was shining very much in that country, and God had compassion on those precious little ones who are now grown by God's grace. The next slide. And these precious, precious kids here. And I'm almost through. These children are in Ukraine. And went to an orphanage there. And the interesting thing, when communism fell in Ukraine, many of their orphanages, many of their government-run orphanages were left in disrepair. So the churches went in and literally adopted the kids to be their own. Many of them were being raised there, discipled there, and we just had a wonderful time visiting with them, offering resources. And I'll never forget sitting at the table with a friend of mine I worked with years ago, Fred Martin, and we're eating, and the kids, this one little kid picks up my hand, beautiful little girl. She holds her hand next to my hand, and just points at my skin and points at hers and looks up and smiles. And we just had a ball. And so Fred and I are at the table, and one of them takes maybe it was a roll or a biscuit. I forget, it's probably a roll because, you know, grabs it and puts it on my plate. And then another one grabs theirs and puts it on Fred's plate. And all the kids at our table at the orphanage now are putting their food on our plate. And me and Fred look at each other, and we just smile. And the first thought was to put it back, but then we just started gobbling up, just saying thank you and playing with them. And these are some of the kids. And so I have a lot to say about this, and I'm not going to go all into it. God cares about those precious souls. I don't know if those young boys are fighting for their country now, or the state of those girls. The gospel is good news. And old CBC Church, Community Bible Church, what a privilege it is to hold the light of Jesus to all people. Yeah, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. The same God that showed compassion to Jonah shows compassion to you and to me. And this is the message: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus said there was a greater Jonah, and that one is him. So the message that we share with you today is God is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in, grace and righteousness and loyalty. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have our time of the Lord's table, I hope just in the time and the word this morning that you receive that to heart and you know that just like he showed mercy and grace to Jonah, he shows mercy and grace to you and me. And when you deal with people and all of our oddities, keep that in mind. And you be a vessel for his grace and mercy. So I want to pray for you, and I'm going to invite the elders to come forward. Eternal God, we thank you. Just like the old hymn, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red, brown, yellow, black, and white are precious in your sight. Jesus, you love the children of the world. I ask your blessings on Community Bible Church. Thank you for this precious church. Thank you for your call to Pastor Trevor and also your calling on every one of your children here. We all have a calling, and we pray that we would say yes to you and help us to learn the lessons from Jonah. May we say yes to you and be obedient. When we get off track, may we get back on track quickly. May it not come to being swallowed up by a whale or by a large fish, but may it be from a place of repentance and faith. Thank you for CBC. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's thank God for this day. Yes, indeed. Yeah. Jonah, more than a fish story. Amen.